Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Roderick. Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at
soccer? I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me, but in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mac truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. I'ma buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up. No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs and football. We're live, 45 minutes, talking all things football, the beautiful game. There's lots to discuss, as always. I'm joined by the man himself, ex-Salford City, ex-FC United, Aberystwyth Town, Bangor City. Fucking can't remember the other one. Was it Royston? Who else? Come on.
Royston, who's that?
No, it wasn't Royston. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the teams. Who else is it? Come on. I missed a couple there.
Remember when I told you I worked, was it Kids Grove for 6 months with Carl Robinson?
There you are, Kids Grove. Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah, little 6 months, didn't that? Thought, no, that's not for me up here.
Mr. Roger Giggs, how are you, my friend? You good?
Yeah, it's good, mate. Yeah, good, like I said. Just... I've lost my connection to my iMac. I was cleaning, and I've not put it back. It's the connection from my keyboard. So, yeah, I'm on my phone again. So, I need to sort it out.
Yeah, I'm on my phone this evening for a change. So, there we go. Got all these posh cameras, and we're on our phone.
Back to basics. Back to how we started. Boom.
That's it, mates. Look, there's loads to discuss. It's going to be an in and out show. I'm doing another show straight after this with journalist Dan Whitcup, where we're going to be talking EFL transfers, Cardiff City transfers specifically. But until then, let's focus on jumping around a few subjects a bit higher up the league pyramid and whatnot. As always, we like to do a little charity league update. We're doing, obviously, we've got the Super Six and the Fantasy League. There was no Fantasy League this week because of the FA Cup. But well done to Rye, who came top of the league this week with 16 points, only just beating Andrew Costley because of his golden goal prediction. In terms of myself and Rodri, Rodri's dropped the ball a little bit this week, only scored 6 points, which takes him 213 points, just 4 points ahead of me as I got 10 points this weekend. So we are neck and neck. I'm 209, he's 213. We are both positioned to make a late run for the title at the end of the season. But the next round is 3 p.m. Saturday. And to make it even better, mate, the Super Six have selected Cardiff versus Leeds. For the in one of the games,
I'm just I'm just checking something. 1 minute, because we skipped over it pretty quickly, and you're only 20 points from the bottom of the FPL. You know that, don't you? 20. Oh,
I do admit the FPL is not the important one. It's like second division, isn't it?
20 points from being a bottom feeder. Carry on.
Secondary, well, I'm not interested. It's second prize. I'm only interested in the top one. It's the one that I win every year, beat you into oblivion every single year. But it's the chat we make, and that's the main thing. That is the main thing.
Let me see how far I am. Oh, I'll see you.
Come on. Find some more excuses. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're better than that. Just own it. You lost to the better man 2 seasons in a row.
Okay. I can see you. Where am I? I'm on 9. I'm nearly on 1,000 points. I'm nearly on 1,000 points. You're on 827. You were above me about a month ago. You know what, don't you?
Every week you go in. Knowledge.
It's what it is. You probably don't watch the Premier League. You're watching EFL, are you? Well, I'm watching it. I'm on the ground here.
I watch real football, mate.
On the ground here. Come on.
I watch real football. Not these prima donnas like Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful link.
You can celebrate a goal without freaking... Wait a minute.
Bah. Is it offside by 6 inches? No. Is his arm offside or whatever? But like, look, that is a beautiful segue as always, because, you know, we're professionals. And Jadon Sancho, mate, left the old your club, Manchester United. First question, before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it and if it's a good move and what to think, do you think he ever plays for United again? Say Ineos decides Ten Hag is not the man for them at the end of the season. Is there a way back for Jadon Sancho? If he plays well?
Yeah, of course. You can go to Borussia Dortmund now, light it up. Ten Hag gets a sack in the summer. New manager comes in. Yeah, we'll have him. Come bring him back. And it's a fresh slate. We've seen it time and time again. But we'll see what happens. It could go either way. He could go there and be rubbish because he's been rubbish for us. But it's a different platform now. It might suit him and get his confidence back up and then see where we go.
Yeah, look, I think in terms of, like, a few different sides here, I think in terms of his career, it was important he got out somewhere in January and started playing football again. I think it makes a lot of sense to go back to Dortmund, somewhere where he had his best form. And I think what people sometimes forget, where he's been not great for United, and obviously people have got their own opinions on what he's done recently. Like, when he came to United, people were genuinely excited. United fans were genuinely excited because his stats, his goals, his assists were up there with the very best in the world. He was the closest in terms of stats and ability and stuff to the likes of Messi and Ronaldo. You know, and it wasn't just one season, it was over a couple of seasons. And it was sort of him, Jude Bellingham, a couple of others who were like the next big things. And some of them, you know, obviously Bellingham in particular has gone on and looks like he's going to really live up to the hype and achieve certain things. Unfortunately, as it stands at the moment, Sancho probably hasn't done that. But I also think that there's an element to United maybe didn't do their homework on Sancho in terms of a couple of sides of it. First and foremost, there was evidence that he had some issues with being on time and missing things, meetings, training, turning up late, stuff like that. So United as a club should have done their homework and known that already. Like, Dortmund had things in place, like there was someone allocated in the team who would wake him up and make sure he got there on time. Personally, I think it's ludicrous that you're getting paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week and you can't be on time. But regardless, they had things in place. And then the second part of it is, I think United thought they were getting an out and out, you know, electric winger who can beat a man, put a cross in, and he had these brilliant assist stats and goals. But if you actually look at the assists and the goals he was getting, a lot of it was kind of intricate play around the edge of the box with the, you know, 1-2s, little reverse passes, stuff like that. Quite almost like an inside left or right rather than an out and out winger. And I'm not sure that's what United kind of thought they were getting. But I don't know. Where do you stand on him? Well, just the overall situation, I guess, and some of the points I just made.
Watching him, I think he would do everything right until the last bit. And then he would just bottle out and pass it. He just lost his bottle. And that's all I could say about him. Because he'd get in the right position and stuff, but instead of like taking a guy on and trying to commit someone, he'd pass it all the time. So it got pretty frustrating because you just like, go on, go on. Because all the wingers I've seen, you get one-on-one, that's what you want. Get out of, especially in the last third. So, but yeah, it was obviously it was a confidence issue, and it's not gone well for him. But he needed obviously an arm around the shoulder. He got that at first, and then obviously it's been through in his face by, you know, continue to be late, poor attitude, bad training.
And then called him a liar in public.
And then called him a liar. And then yeah, and so his attitude's not been great. His actions after it's not been great. Where he's been. What he's been doing and where he's been going and stuff. So put on his Instagram. Not too bright, this kid. But you know, when you're getting paid $350,000 a week and a 5-year contract, some players just go, "I'm gonna do what I want."
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, players seem to, when their contracts are starting to come up, players start to they find their form, shall we say, and then they get the contract and maybe that form dips. Like what United, so I just in that, right, in Rashford's case, obviously got a whopping big contract on the back of a great season last year, his best season, so he deserved that contract. But if United, what United probably should have done if they were a bit cleverer, and is when he was having a bad season the season before and he had 2 seasons left on his contract, is to approach him and say, listen, we believe in you, here's a contract, like that 5-year contract, we believe in you, we know you're gonna, you know, you're gonna hit the ground running, we know you're gonna get it right. And then they probably would have saved themselves about $150,000 a week in contract fees. I think sometimes United are not proactive enough with their contracts. There, you know, you look at like Pogba left on a free, you look at the way De Gea went, it was like willy wonky all the time. Even Martial, mate, the Martial thing is an absolute shambles. So there was all these reports earlier this week.
It's no surprise, that, is it? It's been a shambles. That's why Sir Jim Radcliffe's come in and took over them decision-making, because it's been poor over the last few years, for several years, and just decision after decision been poor. So that, hopefully we'll see a change in that, but that's where that comes from the top.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, there's an element of United has some of the highest paid, you know, highest payers in the league in terms of the players' wages and stuff, but they're not getting the output from those players that should. Because in most leagues, if you go around the world, generally speaking, the teams with the highest wage bills and who spend the most, that'll kind of be the league. You know, those teams will be at the top. The ones who spend the least will be down the bottom. Generally speaking, there's always exceptions to the rule. But with United, they pay out the most in wages, or certainly up there in wages, but they're not getting the output from the players. And I think they put themselves into a corner in the Woodward era, where they were, you know, when they signed Sanchez and Di Maria and these people. But because they didn't have Champions League, they had to overpay in wages. But when you bring those players in, it brings the whole team's wages up, doesn't it? Because then the next time, you know, if you've got, I don't know, say Sanchez is in the group and he's on $300,000-$400,000 a week or whatever he was on, and then I don't know, Rashford or whoever, their contract comes up and they're like, well, you know, I've been playing better than him, or my stats are better than him, I want an extra, you know, $150,000 in this contract. So they cause problems for themselves. I think with this new regime, I think it looks like they're looking to put things right. What do you think of, like, the Sancho versus Ten Hag element of it? Because the way I look at it is, Ten Hag did everything he could to try and help him, like, get his head right, gave him, like, 6 months off in the season, or I don't know if it was 6 months, but gave him months off in the middle of a season when, he was needed in that squad. And it does feel, I think you just used the phrase, he threw it back in his face. And I feel like if I was Ten Hag, that's how I would feel, because not many managers would give a player, you know, several months off mid-season to go and get their head straight and train. And he obviously sorted out the people to train with. And then to come back, one, not, you know, sharp and motivated and and hit the ground running, I think was the first sign that maybe it wasn't going to go right. But then also, like, when you look at when Ten Hag criticised him in that post-Arsenal game, he basically just said his attitude wasn't right. He said the same thing about Garnacho. He said, you know, he dropped Rashford for being late from a meeting. He said it about other players. And all those other players reacted in the way that you'd expect a professional to react. Sancho threw his toys out the pram, called the manager a liar, and hasn't played since. Whereas United have been crying out for Sancho on the right. You know, right-hand side has been a problem because Antony's been rubbish. Rashford hasn't been in the best of form. I mean, now it looks like Garnacho's settling into that right-hand side. But Sancho, if he hadn't thrown his toys out the pram after the Arsenal game, he would have been starting, certainly for a few games, and would have had a big chance to show what he's about. And his attitude's gotten away from me.
Yeah, he's got a poor attitude. Yeah, we've seen that. And he is where he is. So, but you've got to back the manager. We've seen this. These players have got numerous managers sat. So where does it stop? Where does it stop? You know, give this bloke enough time. These new people might come in and review it at the end of the season and think, no, not for me. Because that could be an argument in it or debate in itself. You know, the way of play, how are Manchester United playing, what's the structure, what's the philosophy, because we don't see it. We have managers that come in straight away and you see it straight away. But then you could go back to fall on to, well, he's had like 15 major injuries with players along the season, long-term injuries. So he's got an argument there as well. So it's a difficult one, but I will stick with it. And we'll just see where it takes. See where it ends up.
Yeah, we've got to break the cycle, mate. I said a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? That time for the managers, for the hierarchy of the United, whether it's to be a match or...
Mate, when you're moving about, it's going quick. No, try and keep still when you talk or whatever you're doing. Go on.
Keep still. It's not going to move right now. No, it's like, so I think I said a couple of weeks back, like, it's time for United to do what you just said, back the manager, say to these players, look, if you're not on board with this manager for the next couple of years, then on your bike. It's about the club and what's best for the club. We believe he's the guy for us, and let him take them forward and get rid of anyone who's not on board, because it's for too long that it feels like the players have had too much power. You look at this Martial thing, it's ludicrous at the moment. He's got 6 months left on his contract. It looked like he was going to Turkey and on loan and then going to sign. But obviously he's out of contract in the summer. So the Turkish side were asking for his contract to be extended automatically, which United have the option for, which didn't make any sense to me. The player would like to keep his options open and go for free in the summer. United can activate his contract if they want to, but it seems, you know, it's very clear they don't want him. He hasn't been picked recently. Would you just get rid anywhere you could with Martial, or would you extend his contract by a year?
Yeah, I already got rid of him a long time ago. Long time ago. He's the main to get in a hit. Get him out of my club.
Wouldn't extend his contract to try and get money for him?
He's a fraud. He's a fraud. You can't have someone like that. It's one of these is like, yeah, but he's a good player. Yeah, but for what? 4 months of a year?
Not even that.
Yeah,
it made me laugh. Apparently, his agent said he wants to get into. He's hoping to get into the French Euro squad in the summer. And I was like, how? Like, how does he think he's gonna? Jesus Christ! Like, he's not even in the squad at the moment because his attitude.
The only way
he's
gonna do that is if he gets off.
Yeah, he's got to go somewhere and score goals, hasn't he? But I mean, he went on loan to Seville, didn't he, and did nothing. So,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Just lastly on this. Just saw their recent comment said, although I don't think Ten Hag should have gone public, it did need to be sorted behind doors. So I've read a few pieces around the time, and it said that Sancho being late and his attitude had been brought up to him privately by the coaches, by some senior players. So it was, you know, they did try to deal with it behind closed doors. And I think, to be honest with you, mate, I think Ten after the Arsenal game, someone asked him about it. He was annoyed about the Arsenal game anyway. And I think he just had enough. And he just went, you know what? No, he didn't get selected because his attitude is not right in training. Maybe with hindsight, looking back, Ten Hag would say, oh, yeah, I should have just, you know, give like a generic answer. But if he had said he was injured or he was ill, Sancho would have put a statement out saying, I wasn't injured or I wasn't ill. So, you know, he couldn't win either way. Sancho should have just kept his mouth shut, come into training on the Monday, had a good attitude, and he would have started the next game. End of conversation for me. Like, that's it. Like, you know, like his attitude is what's got in the way for him, in my opinion. Moving away from United, mate, Eric Dier has left Spurs to go on loan to Bayern Munich. Are you surprised by that move?
Who?
Eric Dier from Spurs.
Not necessarily. No, he's an England international and he's played at high level. I think he'd be more than capable to play in that league. More than capable.
Yeah, I think the pace of that league will probably suit him a bit better than the Premier League, actually, because I think sometimes he gets found out for pace. And I think, absolutely, I could see it working. I wonder if Harry Kane had any say in that move, mate. I've got to be honest.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure they at least asked him about, you know, what is he, what's he like, what's his attitude like. Tottenham made a couple of good signings, mate, this week. They've signed, obviously, they moved Eric Dier out. They've got that Romanian defender in
and
from Genoa.
As well, yeah. So,
Timo Werner. Moved on DJ Spence as well on low, going to Genoa. I think that's a good move for that DJ Spence. He's a good young player. Hasn't had much chance at Tottenham. So I like to see these young footballers going out on loan or going to, you know, having confidence in themselves, go and play in a foreign country, go and play in a different league. And it's worked out quite well for a few. You know, look at Tammy Abraham, isn't it? He went out to Italy. Chris Smalling has been doing a good job in the Italian league. Ampadu, the Welsh lads, went out, didn't he, to Germany. Yeah. So there's, I like to see these young players, you know, if they're not getting game time at these Premier League clubs, go and play and, you know, trust yourself, believe in your ability and go and try yourself at, you know, Spain, Germany.
Okay.
Do you think United bring anyone in? Because I saw that Hannibal might be going to somewhere in Spain. I can't remember where it was, though. But Seville, it might have been. But United are going to retain a buyback option, so they retain a bit of control over his sort of future because they rate him highly. But like when I read that, I was like, they don't rate him that highly because they keep picking Scott McTominay in front of him. Would you be disappointed to see Hannibal leave?
Yeah, because you're not really getting these players. They must feel aggrieved because they don't get a real good run. And for them to do that when they come in, they need to really, really have a good game. He's done okay, but not really, you know. So it's difficult to analyse. But it's a difficult one. But he's young. He needs to play, doesn't he? So
yeah. He's played 11 games this year, and I think what's interesting with him is I was listening to one of the ex-United players talking about the academy, and they said in the academy games and the under-23s, like Hannibal is a very gifted technical footballer, but for some reason, when he's played this year, he's kind of been like that cut and thunder, you know, really intense, aggressive pressing. And you haven't really seen the technical side of his game. Whereas when I hear that, I think, well, why on earth hasn't he been given an opportunity in that where McTominay's been playing? Like, if he's technically very good, but he's also got the legs and the aggression.
I think it's one of the things, you know, if you're doing well, you can sprinkle him in every now and again and put him in better situations. When your back's against the wall and you're not playing very well and you're a young lad and you come in, you know, you want to do is work hard for your team and get stuck in. So that's where you're probably not seeing the football side of him and the skill.
I think it'd be a bigger
that he can show. But you know, like I say, he's willing. He gets about the pitch well, and if he's got good quality, then you know. But we've not really seen that. But like I say, it's been difficult for him because he's coming a struggling side. He's been beat 15 times this season.
Yeah, it'd be a big ask as well to play him and Mainoo, like two 18, 19-year-olds.
Exactly.
It's a big ask, isn't it?
this is what I'm saying. If you're flying high and the top of the league, or you're doing well, you can put him in with a Casemiro and a Bruno, or Casemiro and an Eriksen, or you can dip him in and put him in better situations. But the team's all over the place. He's coming into a struggling team, so it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. For lad. Yeah, I agree. Rob says he can't wait for Leverkusen to win the German league and Kane and Dier go trophy-less again. It would be brutal, wouldn't it, if Harry Kane went to Bayern Munich and they didn't win the German league for the first time.
He got beat in his final in the first week, didn't he? Because he played in that, they got beat.
I tell you what, Xavi Alonso, sometimes being a quality footballer doesn't always translate to being a good manager. But Xavi Alonso is really growing his reputation as a manager. Like, he's doing things at the moment which no one else has been able to do, even Klopp. Like, at the moment, Leverkusen are top by 5 points or 4 points, and they're playing incredible. They haven't lost a game all season, Leverkusen. And I just think it would be remarkable if they are able to win that German league. They got a great squad of young, like really quality young players, but a little bit of experience like sprinkled in, which I think Granit Xhaka's in there, and a couple of others with that experience at international level, alongside then some of the best young players in that. Do you know who else is in that squad? In their squad, mate, Tim Fosu-Mensah. Remember him from United's academy? He's in there.
Well, he's so quick. He's always quick. Very quick, and he was a good player, just a bit raw, but obviously he's matured and he's doing well. Good.
Yeah, I think one of the United managers fancied him, and they gave him a few games. It might have been Van Gaal. I think
it was Mourinho.
It could have been. One of them gave him a few games, and then I'm sure he went out on loan to like Reading, I think, if memory serves, and didn't do too great. But sometimes these players, they just need the right move to the right club.
A move and a good run in the team. Because it's difficult when you've not been playing. You come in and you try to perform, but you're not up to speed. It's difficult. It's very difficult. So it's sink or swim.
Yeah, he went to Palace. He went to Fulham on loan, went back to United, and then moved to Leverkusen. And he seems to be doing pretty well. He had a bad knee injury.
Yeah, he was at Palace, wasn't he? Yeah.
But he seems to be doing quite well, mate, at Leverkusen. Made 23
of 23. He was very, very quick. Just a bit raw, but obviously, he's refined them skills.
Here's an interesting... interesting one. Rob says Jordan Henderson wants to leave Saudi, obviously, which is quite funny. Simply because even though he's getting paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, he still wants to get out of there. He's probably got fed up of playing in front of 20 people. But that would be an interesting move to Leverkusen, give him a bit of experience in the midfield and, just to see him over the line in a title race. He's obviously won a Premier League title, being that Henderson is someone who's been in that, the running where you're going for the title. I know he only did it once, but he still did it. Around those young players, you need those guys, don't you, who've been there and won trophies.
Yeah. I forgot what you asked me.
No, I just said, if Jordan Henderson was to go to Leverkusen...
I find it hard how he's going to be able to leave there. Because of the wages he's on. If he's done unreported the wages that he's on, I don't see anyone else than a Premier League team bringing him back.
Yeah,
but for Bayern Leverkusen, it would be a brilliant signing for him. And that might be the sign that sends him over the line, because he's a very good midfielder for that level. He's experienced, he's won things. So, it would be a very good signing for him. But I don't see it.
So apparently, Jordan Henderson is on £692,000 a week.
Yeah, the German side.
That is a wage, mate, isn't it? That is a wage.
You're nearly looking at 3 million a month.
Well, on that note, Cristiano Ronaldo and Karim Benzema are on 3.3 and 3.4 million per week, respectively. It's just outrageous. Like, I know these players get paid a ridiculous amount of money, but 3 million plus a week to play football is outrageous.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, crack on. Like, if you can get paid that much money, crack on. That's what I say. But it is just unreal.
Well, you're talking three figures. You're talking eight figures, aren't you? A year. It's good dog.
Crazy, mate. But, like, you know, I think Ronaldo will probably be the first billionaire footballer, won't he? In terms of just earning in his career. Because he's going to earn what? He's going to earn a hefty amount just from his time in Saudi, let alone, you know, all the money he's earned throughout his career. And like I say, good luck to him. I see people criticising these players for going out and playing in Saudi as if they would turn down that amount of money to go and play football in a different country. You know, I just find it strange, like jealousy probably a little bit as well. I find it ironic, though. Like, you look at the names like Benzema and Koulibaly and Neves and Ronaldo and all these guys gone, and then Jordan Henderson just doesn't. He's like a different tier of player. But again, good luck to him.
You say can't that, mate, him. He's won. You know, he's won Champions Leagues, won Premier League. So, you know, you say that, but he has got some stature in the game. He's played England. He's been in the World Cup. Semi-finals, Euro finals, so, you know, he's got good pedigree, mate.
He's won trophies, definitely. He's won trophies, you're right, Ben. England international.
He can still get about, so he'll do a bit. And plus, we're talking about Eric Dyer doing a good job, you know, so why couldn't Jordan Henderson?
Eric Dyer's 29. How old is Jordan Henderson? Do you know off the top of your head?
So he's 4 years older. So, you know, modern day.
I think most players now can play sort of 36, 37 and still keep up, can't they?
He's that experience as well, mate. That experience is invaluable. So,
well, yeah, I was looking at it from a point of view of like that Leverkusen squad. They got some really good young footballers. You need some players in there who've been around the block and real, done it. You know, yeah. It's interesting, mate. Interesting. I just noticed Carl Robinson has been charged by the FA already for in charge of Salford. He got a red card 14 minutes into his first game as manager. Do you know what happened? I just saw it now. Like, as we were thinking.
I was watching it as well, you know, but. I don't remember it happening.
14 minutes into the first half, he got sent off apparently for improper conduct on the touchline.
And he got given a fine. He got the football or something when he was there throwing.
Not the start he would have wanted, mate. But I think he'll do a good job there.
Show that right. Do that favour. Do that right here. Pull it out. Pull it out. Yeah.
This one or this one?
That's the one that's making the noise.
This one?
No, it was the other one. Yeah, that one, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, go on.
FA Cup last weekend, mate. Any sort of people, any performances stick out for you? Obviously, United beat Wigan. It was a bit of a straightforward victory. But any of the other results sort of stick out for you?
It was a boring game, though. It should have been like 5 or 6, shouldn't it?
Yeah, finishing was poor. I thought they played pretty well and whatnot, but you know, you should be beating a League One side, really. I thought it was interesting that he played pretty much his strongest team available. I thought that was.
He couldn't afford no mistakes there, mate. He couldn't afford no mistakes there. It's only 20 minutes down the road. So, yeah, they played for 8 or 9 days. So, yeah, it was it's not going to be, you know, League One side, so it's not going to be too strenuous, you would have thought. But, yeah, they made hard work of it.
Yeah, with no European football. They've got, you know, they've got a week between the Wigan and the Tottenham game now, and you know, it kind of, I can understand it. I think they'll probably rotate it a little bit against they got Newport or Eastleigh, haven't they, in the next round. I might see if I can get a ticket for the Newport game, you know. Just I know someone down there. I might just pop down, take my boy down with me. Newport, isn't it? He's a big, love to go to Newport, mate. See them. Well, they got Newport got to beat Eastleigh first. In the FA Cup, though, mate, obviously Man City, straightforward victory versus Huddersfield, 5-0. Leeds through, Wrexham through is an interesting one. West Brom, Liverpool comfortably beat Arsenal, mate. Arsenal now lost, how many on the bounce? Three?
Yeah, three on the bounce. And who's he got this
weekend?
They need
to put a stop to that, didn't they?
Pardon?
Arsenal need to put a stop to that quick shaft, that little run. They don't want to carry on.
You always have a bad little run in the season. It's good to get out of the way now. That's what you'd be saying to him. You know, we've had a bad little run now. Let's get this out of the way and finish strong. So you would hope that would be the message, and I'm sure it is. But yeah, they'll turn it around. They're good players, but it is a problem from scoring goals.
Yeah, they need to get a striker. I know they were linked with Ivan Toney quite heavily. I don't know if they're going to try and get him in January, but I think they need a striker to really work on that. Interestingly, Arsenal got Palace at home on Saturday lunchtime. Palace is a tricky one. You never quite know how they're going to turn up. Sometimes they turn up and they look like a real football team, and then other times they just kind of go through the motions and don't look great, but Arsenal can't afford to slip up again on Saturday, because then I think their season could be in danger of spiralling a little bit. Because they've lost three of the last five. They've lost three on the bounce now, including the FA Cup game.
Still in the hunt, aren't they? I don't think it is, you know, teams are taking points.
5 points, yeah, they're 5 points behind Liverpool, but they're in fourth. But what has happened is teams in fifth and sixth have got a bit closer. So Tottenham are just a point behind Arsenal. West Ham are only 5-6 points behind. And then you've got Brighton and United who are 9 points behind. Like, that top four could be very different this year by the end of the season. You know, you could have Villa in there, you could have Tottenham in there, West Ham are up there. It's very interesting how it's going to progress, mate, I've got to say. Right, just as we sort of look to wrap up, mate, can you run your super sticks up on your screen? Only because I can't get it up on mine.
Your sound is proper irritating.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's miles better. Go on.
Yeah, can you are you able to get the Super Six up on your screen? If not, I get it up on mine.
Yeah, go on.
I do it on my phone normally, and obviously I'm filming on it, so I can't log into it.
No, go on. So Cardiff Leeds is first one.
I'm gonna go with a one all game there. I think Cardiff will turn up, be solid. What you got?
Go on, Cardiff, you're a bottle job, you.
It's just realistic, isn't it?
Well, Cardiff, no, just below the playoffs, playing a playoff team, and you sit on the fence.
Oh, no, I didn't sit on the fence. I gave you an exact prediction.
What a ball, man. Go on, West Brom, Blackburn.
What did you say for Cardiff Leeds?
3-1, the Bluebirds.
For Cardiff, go on, son. Who was it, West Brom and who?
West Brom and Blackburn.
Ooh, I'll go 2-1 West Brom.
I'm going to go 1-0 West Brom. Ipswich, Sunderland.
Ooh. I think I'll go Ipswich 3, Sunderland 2.
2-1, Ipswich. Newcastle, Manchester City. At Newcastle.
Ooh. I think I'll go with a 2-1 Newcastle victory there.
2-1 Newcastle victory?
Yeah.
No. No. 3-1, City.
City.
Everton against Villa.
Ooh, that's an interesting one indeed. Is it at Everton, is it?
That Goodison Park.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 2-1 Villa there.
I'm going to go 2-1 Everton. Difficult place to go there. And they've got the tail. The last one is Manchester United against Spurs. Now, this is renowned for a lot of goals.
Yeah.
This is goals. So it's not going to be a nil-nil.
Which means it's definitely going to be nil-nil. It's at United, isn't it?
Is that United? Sorry, so I thought it was at Spurs, and there's more goals usually at Spurs, but at United, yeah.
So I will go with I'm going to go with 3-2 to see. I've got a feeling United are going to pinch it, but like my head says that Spurs will get something, like it'll be 3-2 Spurs or something like that. But
are you going with?
It's going to be 3-2
the Spurs.
No, it's just going to be 3-2. No, I think I got a feeling United are going to...
Well, I've gone 4-2, so there we go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3-2 United, but I think it's going to be... It could go either way. Like, I just got a feeling United might pinch it at home. There we go.
So they're all locked in. So you need to look at your team and change your team.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I can't be someone associated who's a bottom feeder like that. Come on.
I haven't even looked at it, mate. I just always like forget, and I'll have to copy it. No excuses, mate. I'll have a look at it. I promise.
Go on, mate. It takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes, but yeah.
I'm a busy man, mate.
Come on.
Very busy man, you know.
You've got people like James Maddison and Casemiro playing.
Yeah, I probably have. 100%.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it. Right. I'll have a look at it tonight.
You should have like 10 transfers. You can change the whole team if you want.
Yeah, I'll have a look tonight. When I have my cup of tea before I go to bed, I'll sit down and I will go through it. See if I can have a better week this week.
Do you just have a cup of tea, or do you have like a bourbon biscuit with it, or custard cream?
Funny enough, I like those. I have those Lotus Biscoff biscuits at the moment, which my missus bought for me.
Oh my god!
Quite nice.
My son bought them the other day. No, not for me.
Nice.
I'm old school classic. Bourbon
custard cream.
Yeah, like a malted milk chocolate one.
Yes, nice, mate. It's nice. I tell you what is nice biscuit, which I tried the other day. Is a white chocolate digestive. That was wicked. I enjoyed that a lot. No. Like that. Beautiful.
I like me dark chocolate digestives, me, so.
Oof. Dark chocolate, acquired taste, that is. Do you like Marmite?
No.
It's the worst thing that's ever been created food-wise. It's awful. I don't know how anyone can eat it. Like absolutely disgusting. Right, guys, we'll be back next week for Roger Giggs on Football. Tomorrow morning, I got a Cardiff City versus Leeds preview, which will be on. And I've also, straight away now, well, give me 5-10 minutes to have a quick cigarette. And then I'll be back with Darren Whitcup to discuss all the latest transfers in the EFL and specifically Cardiff City to round off the evening. But
don't put the phones on.
I won't. I'm hoping I can sort the camera out now. But...
Shit. Can't believe I put up with him for 30 minutes.
No, you're a patient man. What can you say?
Yeah. It kept on going in and out, and then it's that static. I was like, oh.
Right, nice, mate. As always, a pleasure. I'll speak to you on the weekend. Some good UFC coming up as well on the weekend. So
yeah.
Have a look at that as well.
Is it Strickland?
Isn't it Johnny Walker and thing?
All right, yeah. When Strickland and Duplessis? When's that one?
Let's have a look. So Saturday is Walker and Ankalaev. And then Strickland and Duplessis is soon, isn't it? I think it might even be next week. I'm not sure. Let's have a look. Strickland, Duplessis. Is 21st of January, a couple of weeks. That's going to be an absolute banger. They hate each other, don't they? So always good when there's a bit of needle, mate. That's what we like.
What?
Bit of needle, that's what we like, is because it just makes it entertaining, doesn't it? Right, mate, always a pleasure. I'll see you in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.